أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها. Well, Allah SWT is saying, look, I am Allah. That's what Allah is saying. I am the greatest of great. I don't need to impress anyone. I don't need to show anyone how great I am or how great I am not. So then Allah says something. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهِ, verily Allah, لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضًا فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. I am not ashamed, I am not shy, Allah is saying, to quote, for example, the example of even a mosquito or something that may be even more trivial than that. Now in today's time, imagine if you speak about a mosquito in a conference, you know what they'll say? That man there is crazy. He studied so hard in life, he's talking about a mosquito. That's all he's talking about. Or he's talking about a small deal. Like for example, when people contribute and donate, and if a brother is to pick up his hand and say, I wish to give $10. You must look at the people, how they look at him. Like as if this guy had committed a crime. And another guy will say, I'm willing to give $1 million. MashaAllah, brother, MashaAllah. We get so excited, we run behind him. Everybody runs behind the one that gives a lot. We're not realizing the guy that's giving $1 million has $100 million. For him, that million may be nothing. For that guy that's giving $10, he may only have $15 in his pocket. That's all he has. Statistically and ratio-wise, he's giving much more. Ratio-wise, his reward, inshallah, can be much more. But that's not the way we look at it. Because for us, we have to use the numbers game. And this numbers game is causing a huge problem. The other day we were talking, the American deficit is something like, what, 19 trillion or something. Because we don't know as people where to stop. If you can afford a $100,000 home, get it. If you can afford a $10,000 car, get it. No, we got to talk big. I got to get that fastest car. I got to get that biggest home. Everything want to go big, big, big. Now you're going bust, bust, bust. So Allah is saying, don't become that way. Allah is saying, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَن يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا. Allah is saying, if I'm not ashamed to talk about a mosquito, why can't you, who can't even create a mosquito, be humble? Who can't even create a mosquito, take part in being more humility-oriented. So this is the message Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is passing to us, that accept your mortality. Accept the fact that you are going to pass away. Accept the fact that in reality, you are nothing much. You know, they say, it was who? Qarun, who it was? Very powerful, very mighty. It just took one mosquito to destroy him. Everyone is sitting here and quite content. Imagine if one mosquito went up your nose. You know, it will make you, you know, when you were kids, when I was in school studying, when a person is sleeping, we used to do these games with them. You know, in a hostel you have these beddings. So we go near the person and we take like a piece of cotton or something and you start putting in the person's ear. What happens? That person starts jumping. They don't know what's happening. Imagine it's a little cotton. You're just putting in someone's ear. That fellow, his whole sleep goes away. And then when you're, you know, when you're Islam's age, the young kid over here, and when somebody's sleeping, you go and you take a little bit of cotton and you put it in the nose. I'm not giving you ideas what you must do, not do. And what happens to that person? That person gets restless. That's what kids do. Now imagine, it was Qarun or Namrud. Who was Namrud. I forget exactly.
Namrud.
Namrud, exactly. It was the mosquito, right? Yeah. That went basically up his nose. So he went in one of those cavities. And that's it. It created his entire situation to become chaotic. Allah is saying, don't take anything for granted. And don't take anything as too small, because I can make that thing that is small into a big, major misery for you if I wish. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And Allah says, and regarding those that have iman. Who has iman? The one that believes in Allah. The one that claims to believe in Allah. The ones that heart is attached to Allah. And at the same time, they fulfill the requirements of what Allah wants them to do. Now I'm going to make a very inappropriate comment to some of you. For example, today was a day in which people were called upon in Utah to wear hats and scarves. Right? Nothing wrong with wearing hats and scarf. Do you know, to wear a hat in itself is sunnah. Right? We agree with that because the Prophet himself wore it. Very few people will deny that. To wear a turban too is part of sunnah. Nobody will deny that. But to wear the hat or to wear the scarf, because someone is telling you to wear the scarf or wear the hat, and you're wearing it to make that person happy, but you don't wear it always to make Allah happy, because His Prophet wore it, and that is a major problem. That goes against the grain of this given ayah. If you don't want to wear a hat, don't wear a hat. But if you want to wear it, wear it for the right reason. But don't wear it because the imam or someone is telling you, today we're going to have a hat day or a scarf day, and therefore you wear it. So religion is not linked to a specific day or a specific moment or a specific time. It is for all moments and all times, wherein if the demand is presented or the request is presented, you would do it. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't do it specifically because of a given individual that says today is a day for whatever it may be. So that's what the definition of iman is, that your tongue will attest it, your heart will confirm it, and your body will represent it. Once you have these three things, then you have what is known as, inshallah, the total aspect of iman. Now on this definition, you can see how problematic it can be for many people. That yes, we say with the tongue, I am a Muslim. We say with the heart that I am a Muslim. But carrying out all that operation, salah, zakah, hajj, manifesting goodness to your parents, children, etc., it can become quite a challenge. فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. And those that have iman, they know that all these things regarding Allah and regarding Rasulullah ﷺ and regarding all this, they know it's from Allah. فَيَعْلَمُونَ and they know أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. It is absolutely truthful from Allah. There's no doubt about it. Now, then Allah talks about a different group of people. Folks, you have to understand the Quran is very, very balanced. You'll notice whenever Allah talks about Jannah, there's also about Jahannam. When Allah talks about good, He also talks about bad. And when He talks about bad, He has a solution on how you must do good. This happens throughout. This is the system of Allah. Allah is very, very balanced. And this occurs throughout the Quran. Throughout. This in itself, when people read this, and some non-Muslims, when they focus on this aspect alone, they said, you know what? This book cannot be by a human, that a human wrote it. Because a human by nature is prejudice. A human by nature is looking for certain zingers to hit, and how to sort of correct other people and not worry about themselves and create this situation of inappropriateness from time to time. And that doesn't happen in the Quran. Now you saw Allah, He spoke about haq. Now He says something else. He speaks about kufr. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. When He spoke about iman, He said those that understand, they do certain things and understand them. Now when Allah SWT talks about disbelief, He talks about their psychology as well. The Quran is very, very deep. So regarding those that disbelieve and they don't want to do that which is good, they say, فَيَقُولُونَ, what are they saying? مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. What does Allah really intend with all these examples? You know, when you're telling someone something good, you say, before I'm going to tell you something, let me give you an example. The guy knows what you're going to say. So what he says, he cuts you right there. He says, look, don't tell me anything further. I get what you're saying. Or they say, what do you mean by this example? Or you tell them something, and thereafter you give an example, and they break that example in half, because they don't want to listen to what you said before. See, humans are that way. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that those that disbelieve, what they say, مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَنْ. What is Allah SWT intending by all this that He's saying to us, about whether it's about whatever it may be, the mosquito example, or regarding good, or regarding bad, or regarding munafiq behavior, regarding hypocrisy, regarding what you must not do, what you must do. What does Allah mean by all these things? And especially the examples that He's giving, what does He really mean? Allah says, look, I'm not going to get into a major argument with you. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Again, look at the balance. He says there are many, many individuals as a result of my examples, as a result of my Quran, as a result of my Prophet and not listening to all these things, many of them get misguided. And وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. And just as there are many that are misguided, also there are many individuals that will be guided by it. وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. Thereafter Allah says something very powerful. He says, only those that are evil are misguided. That means only those that have an evil intention, only those that don't want to do good, they would look for the negatives in what you are telling them, and they will rip it apart, And he says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِي إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah does not guide that which is, or that who is a fasiq. Now, we spoke about fajr before, we spoke about a munafiq before. So who is a fasiq? A fasiq is that individual that does wrong and does that wrong openly. So you do wrong, you understand it is wrong, and you are doing it openly, without any reason, without any justification, and thereafter you are justifying that wrong as if you have the right to do that wrong instead of making istighfar. See, a person does wrong, you have no right to judge, I have no right to judge. But when I do a wrong, and thereafter I say, you know, times have changed, or I start taking on other excuses, now I'm not only becoming a fasiq, at times I am now a fasiq and a fajr. A fajr is that individual that does the fisk, does the wrong, and does it openly, and thereafter sanctions it, promotes it, and also wishes to others to do in it, take part in it. Therefore, the ulama have been very unanimous. Brother, if you do wrong, sister, you do wrong, we understand you do wrong. But try not to do it openly. And if you do it in public, at least say, I know what I'm doing is wrong, but I have to do it because of maybe work issues, family issues, social issues. The least you can do is repent of the wrong you're doing rather than being open about it. But the ayah says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِي إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. That guidance now will not come your way, and you will be amongst those that are evildoers or part of the evildoers by insisting and justifying and openly doing that given wrong. These are the things we have to understand. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ. And as far as those that do wrong are concerned, they يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ. They take part in breaking their promises after making the given pledges. So for example, I made a pledge, let's say I'm married to my wife, that I ensure that I do certain things. Amongst the things you have to do for your wife, we know from religion, is that you have to give them food, you have to give them shelter, you have to give them clothing, and you have to make sure, of course, that the mental well-being will be taken into consideration. This is done within parameters, of course. Not just saying throw clothing at them, throw all the food at them. No, I mean, you don't want to create bigger problems. But within the parameters, you have to do all these things to establish their well-being and their mental state and ensure their sanity at all times. And that is something you'll also establish not only for them, but for your children and those that Allah SWT has brought under your care. This is very important because this is the promise you made on the day you got married. The day you got married, you didn't say, you know what, I'm going to be the bigger zalim you're going to find. I mean, some people may do it and some women may like it, but generally normal people don't like that. So it says there are those that made a promise, and after they had made a promise, in other words, they do not wish to abide by it. Now this can be referring to, of course, the Jews, of course, to the Christians. They made a promise that when this given man comes down, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will follow him. The hypocrites also made a promise that we will follow Allah, we will follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, for whatever reason, they broke that promise later on. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like that. So, الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ. And also what they did was, they were from amongst those that cut off those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to join. So what are things Allah orders you to join? One of the things He orders you to join is with family, with the community, with the society, with those around you. That's a pledge every Muslim makes. And you make this pledge all the time, sometimes without even knowing it. For example, when I say, brother, assalamu alaikum, I'm making a pledge to you. My pledge is very simple. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be kind to you. Now imagine you walk in the home and your child doesn't make salam and you get angry. You know, I taught you very well. You must make salam. You know, you should make salam. Even your teacher told you to make salam. Okay? We gave this big lecture on salam, on peace, on fulfilling your pledge, on being good. Then your wife says, honey, I forgot to cook today because I was busy. and you lose your senses, and you get angry, and you really get angry. What did you just do? You don't even know what you did because you are so angry. You just broke a pledge. You walked in the house and you said, peace upon each of you. I wish you well. I wish you kindness. I wish you goodness. And when she doesn't answer the phone on time, where were you? Who were you talking to? What were you doing? You know, I called you 3 times. And how you started the call? Assalamu alaikum. You started the call with salam. You started the call with a pledge. I'm going to be good to you. I'm going to be nice to you. And the word after that is you're getting angry. That is why many brothers get very angry. You know, those that understand Arabic and those that are quite religious, they get very upset with people. And sometimes you wonder, why do these scholars or why some of the brothers that understand the language, they get angry? Because they get angry for things like this. They say, brother, you made salam, you meant peace, you meant goodness, and now you're getting angry and violent and all these things. So it doesn't add up. That's what Allah is saying. You made a promise, you made a pledge. Whether it's to your family, whether it's to your society, whether it's to your community. Now you have to maintain that pledge and fulfill that pledge. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like it when you cut off those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered you to join, you have made a promise to join, and thereafter you are breaking away. Another thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes is, وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You also made a pledge that you are going to look after the earth. Right now they're talking about climate control. And everyone makes a pledge to themselves. I mean, nobody will say, you know, I pledge that I'm going to destroy out there. Yet we do many things to destroy in the way in which we consume products, in some of the sprays that we use, in some of the excess that we take part in clothing, in some of the excess that take part even in eating. We don't realize when we take part in excess, we are creating pollution. Allah, by the virtue of this ayah, is saying, you made a promise that you will look after the earth. You made a promise that you look after human life. You made a promise that you look after animal life. Then, وَيَقَطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِأَيُّ صَلَى وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now, why are you corrupting the earth? Why are you doing all these things? Just throwing, when you fix your car, there's a place to put your oil. No, I don't want to pay the $2, $3 extra fee in putting it in the right place. So you go throw the oil somewhere. No, I don't want to pay extra when my tires are, you know, when you get new tires, the old tires, they charge you sometimes for disposing it. No, I don't want to pay it. So I'll go in some corner and throw it in some. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You are corrupting the earth. You are doing wrong things. Yes, you save your $5, but the problem you are creating is worth $50 at times. Allah says, don't do that. Imagine this Quran is talking to us. It's 1400 years old, and it's as if it's, when it's talking to us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as if addressing us in the now that we can all relate. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. People that do these type of things, that create all these pollutants, and all this facade, and all this fitna, and all this evil, and all this corruption, on various ways, whether it's human life, whether it's products, etc. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. These people are at a loss, and these are the true losers, because in reality, they're destroying their dunya, and they're also destroying the akhirah. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. And when someone doesn't want to do anything good, Allah is addressing them as well. كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Allah says, how can you deny تَكْفُرُون? How can you not believe? How can you not believe in Allah? وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. He gives you life, or He gives you death. وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا. See, another thing you have to realize, and the mistake I made in my speech, what did I translate first? I said, how did He give you? Life, I said. Allah doesn't say that. Allah says first, أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. First He is saying, you are given death, then you are given life. When you and I talk, what do we say? I say, first you are born, then you're going to die. Allah doesn't say that. Allah says, first you are dead, then you are born. This, that in itself shows that the Quran is not written by humans. Because humans use their own logic. Allah does not use the logic of humans. So Allah is saying, How can you deny that Allah that took you out from a death state, from a state of nothingness, brought you thereafter, فَأَحْيَاكُمْ, into a state of living. ثُمَّ يُمِيتُكُمْ ثُمَّ يُحْيِيكُمْ. Then he will take your life away, as you and I know, and thereafter again, you will be given life on the day of Qiyamah. And question, this again is showing that Allah is responding to the munafiq. Allah is responding to the disbeliever. Allah is saying, كَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ بِاللَّهِ. How can you disbelieve in an Allah, in that Allah that brought you from a lifeless state, from a dead state, to a state of living, thereafter will give you death and bring you back. ثُمَّ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And of course, undoubtedly, to whom you are going to return, there is no doubt about that. This being the case, you should not be wanting to disbelieve in him, rather believe in him, accept him, and if you chose not to believe, make your istighfar and put your life right. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah is saying, you think I created you. Forget about just you. Now Allah again is trying to knock sense into us. He says, you are excited about your being. You living, you dying, you coming and you going. And you all excited. Allah says, I can give you even more than that. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. I created ma, whatever is in the earth. Allah didn't just say, I created the earth. That ma is saying, the letter ma, it's saying here that Allah has created whatever you see in the earth, on the earth, everything that is related to the world. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Not only did I create the earth, Allah SWT is saying, Allah said, after I created the earth, I turned my attention to the skies and I created the seven skies, and I not only created it, I perfected it. That when you look up, you don't just see gaping holes. When you look up, you don't just see things falling down onto you. It's done in a magnificent, in a beautiful way. In a way that when you look up, you say, this is wonderful. When you look up and you're an artist, you want to draw it. And when you draw it and you look at your drawing and you fall in love with your drawing, and then you look up and you say, no, I missed something else. And you go back. Allah is saying, reflect, ponder, reflect, think, and get yourself sorted out before the day comes when your lack of reflection will only hurt you. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah says, I created insan and their faculties and gave them life of every type and gave them faculties of every type. Not only that, I created the earth you walk in. I created the skies that you are looking at. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah says, everything you can fathom or not fathom, think of or not think of, I am the creator of it all, and there is no need for you to deny me and decline me and turn away from me. We'll just do a few ayah more and then we'll be done, inshallah. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ. Now Allah SWT is talking about the malaika and when Adam alayhi salam was created. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. وَإِذْ قَالَ is actually saying here is not just and when Allah said. That's one way of saying when Allah said. No. Allah is saying here, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ. And remember that very important time period. The word "is" doesn't sound like it's giving much meaning, but in Arabic, it's very, very deep. And there is a word there, that letter "wa". After Allah is talking about life and death and the creation and all these things, Allah now is saying, let me continue and share with you something that will create even more understanding for the one that wishes to have understanding. So Allah is saying, wa and if, and remember that time period, very important time period. What time period? Rabbuka, when your Allah, what did your Allah, lil malaika, he specified and he addressed the malaika. Now Allah is bringing focus to a very, very significant event. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Now imagine the moment he's looking down and says to them, I'm going to create a representative. I'm going to create something like no other. Yes, I created you, you are angels. I mean, angels are magnificent, excited by any of these basics. Yes, these are normal things. In fact, space shuttle, Concorde, all these things are here to improve and increase our iman in making us say, you know what, My Allah did this a long time ago. My Allah has been doing this in various forms a long time ago. So the angel says, yes, I remember the time when I was tested. When Allah said, go. I sped down, I raced down. And before Yusuf could fall, alayhi salam, on that rock in that well, I was there to shield him, to ensure that he will come down gradually. Now somebody will ask, then why did Allah leave him there? Why didn't the angel take him out? Understand full well, we all will go through challenge. If prophets went through it, we will also go through it. If we wish to be believers, we are going to go through it. And that's the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he went through that challenge, and later on we realize that challenge made him one of the greatest leaders. So inshallah, with that in mind, we'll continue next week about what Allah expects of us when he said to the angels that I'm creating a vizier on earth. What they responded, we already know it, but it's good to reflect upon it. And you know what? The irony of this whole thing, whatever the angel said about insan, that's exactly what insan is doing. Bloodshed, corruption, all these things. So the angels already knew. Now you'll ask, how did the angels already know? They made Jannah. They helped in making Jannah. They helped in making Jahannam. And when they're making Jahannam, there probably was a discussion. Who's going to come here? This rapist is going to come here. This child molester is going to come here. This person that kills is going to come here. This person that murders is going to come here. Now they're talking to Allah and saying, ya Allah, you made all these things. You made it for these people that are going to come here. And now you are creating that which is going to do it. Oh Allah, we can't fathom this. We don't think it is appropriate because, oh Allah, we are the ones that are worshipping you all the time and we are doing good. Why put and why allow yourself to see such fitna later on in life? Allah gives them an answer as well. And that's inshallah something we'll continue with next week. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us. And this Quran is amazing. Whenever we read it, whenever we talk about it, it's as if it is just written yesterday for us. It's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates. That's why they say the Quran is for all times. And when we read it, it's like as if it is something we've been hearing over and over. We read about this in social welfare. We read about this in every department. When they talk about how to correct this, how to correct that. If we just follow, inshallah, these simple advices of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can rectify every field and every facet of our existence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.